everybody, and thank you for joining us for the Preceptor Podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Ryan. And today we have with us a returning guest, one of our colleagues, Dr. Jason Ish. Jason, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Dr. Jason Ish. I'm a faculty member here at Manchester University. I practice up in South Bend, Indiana, and I do a number of chronic disease state management, specifically, you know, with diabetes. I do a little bit of outpatient HIV, and obviously I give a lot of vaccinations.
And we're really excited to have Jason here today because about a couple of weeks ago, we were talking a little bit about the COVID vaccine and how starting to see some patients that are having hesitancy about getting that vaccine. And you mentioned to me that there are some members of the general public that have expressed their concern about receiving it. Can you share with us what the most common concerns you're hearing are?
Sure. So I think all of us, you know, see all sorts of things all over the media, social media, kind of wherever you're tuned into about the COVID vaccine. And, you know, until you do some real research, it's hard to know what's truth and what's just kind of a myth. So, you know, as we were thinking about this, I was thinking about, you know, maybe kind of four misconceptions or four even just questions a lot of people have shared with me about the COVID vaccine. Probably the number one misconception or even just question or concern is the speed of the approval process. So the COVID-19 vaccine was approved over a course of about 9 to 10 months of research. So obviously that's pretty quick, where our normal immunizations or even drugs can take 5, 6, 7, 8, even longer years to come out onto market. So maybe just unpacking that a little bit. I think in general, the obviously COVID-19 has controlled a lot of the media. So we've seen a lot of response come from that and a lot of demand from government, from organizations. So obviously we see a faster than normal response with the COVID vaccine than we do with, let's say, you know, the next round of the tetanus booster. So just from that standpoint, there's obviously this urgency that's sped up the regulatory process, which is where most of the vaccines or drugs kind of get stuck in process. So it seems like from everything I've seen, the scientific standards of the research is rock solid, and potentially even more rock solid being so scrutinized. So in general, you know, you've got a couple thousand people that get the vaccine to test for regular vaccine. With the COVID vaccine, they actually even tested about 30 or 40,000 people. So the speed of the approval process, yeah, it's quick that it got done in 9 to 10 months. But, you know, within the first few weeks, we received genetic code from China, like the blueprints of what the virus was. So they were able to really ramp up production pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I think just one other thing that I've heard is, you know, the coronavirus itself is something that's been around for quite a while. And they actually looked into this with SARS all the way back in 2004. So in terms of the vehicle, this is, while it seems brand new to us, some of the vehicle for the immunization has been around for quite a while. And it ended up being pretty good timing to introduce this new vaccine through that as well.
Yeah, absolutely, Ryan. And that kind of brings me to the next point too. You know, the mRNA vaccine, like you were talking about, has been researched for a long time. Back in the 80s and 90s, they were even looking into this kind of delivery vehicle with the mRNA process or the vaccine, but they've just never really had a reason to use it. So, you know, obviously now with COVID being such a national and international issue, we've got years and years of studies and data that we can now apply it to a brand new novel vaccine. So, you know, the second misconception then kind of related to that is, you know, our DNA is being changed or the vaccine is working differently. It's brand new. That's scary. So it's going to change something about my body. And while that's kind of true, how it's being spun is definitely not accurate. So I'll just maybe go into real quick how it works. Most vaccines, they basically, what I always tell patients, they blend up all the little proteins that make up a virus and they put it right in your body. So it's not a real virus. You know, the flu shot, it's not the actual flu. It's just little bits and pieces of the flu. So your body know what it looks like. That way, the next time it sees it, it's able to fight it. Well, with colds and the COVID-19, that does not amount a large enough response for our body to protect ourselves from it the next time. So what they had to do is basically get that set of code or the proteins from the COVID virus, and they packaged it down into this set of blueprints or set of code. So they basically put this mRNA or this blueprint into your body, into your muscle tissues, and that goes into your cell, but not into the nucleus of our cell, which is where all of the most important things like DNA, our genetic makeup is housed. So nothing is going into the nucleus. But in our cells, there are these ribosomes, which are basically like little factories that produce proteins. So that blueprint that comes in the vaccine goes into those little manufacturer or little factories in our body, the ribosomes. They go in there and our own body basically produces proteins, little spike proteins from the COVID virus. So those little spike proteins then get sent out from the cell into the body, and our body makes a much stronger immune response and antibodies to COVID-19. So we know that it lasts quite a bit longer than in our body, and we think it's around 95% effective. So while it does come in a mRNA vehicle, it has nothing to do with our DNA, but it's just a really cool way for our body to fight off this new type of virus.
That's a really good way to explain that, because it's very confusing to think about. So it sounds like we've heard about two of the common misconceptions. You said we're thinking of about four. What were the other two?
Sure. Yeah. So one that I've seen definitely like within my family groups or other groups on Facebook communities is this idea that there might be aborted fetal tissue within the vaccine. So I had to do a little bit of research on that and kind of go back, because obviously I don't think that's something a lot of Americans would want if they weren't sure about that. The science and the work on this vaccine is in no way contributing to or perpetuating further abortions in this country or really in any country. So something else along the same lines there too. You know, when we make vaccines, they actually aren't even made in the cells at all. They're actually just made in these big old vats of chemicals and proteins. So the mRNA vaccines for COVID aren't even made in cells. They're just made in these big old vats. And the cell lines that are used that I'm talking about are really just to check on that. So specifically the ones that just came out, Pfizer and Moderna, they definitely are not made in any fetal cell lines. Now, that may be a little bit different for some of the ones that are coming out in the future. So you just kind of have to weigh that out or maybe do some research in advance to check, with future vaccines coming out.
Great. Thanks, Jason. So I think I would just want to shift gears a little bit to, we're talking to other pharmacists and preceptors. We all have a really good sense of how important vaccination is. I teach students how to immunize people, so I'm certainly on board with this. But for a number of people who aren't maybe as convinced as to the huge benefits of immunizations and vaccinations, it sounds like motivational interviewing could certainly play a part in that. Do you think that's appropriate to utilize motivational interviewing when we're talking about vaccinating our patients?
Yeah, that's a great question. And maybe just real quick, I can kind of define motivational interviewing because for other pharmacists out there, you probably heard it in school, but maybe you haven't talked about it all since then. So, I teach this and I still learn things about motivational interviewing all the time. But from my understanding, back in the 80s and 90s, overdoses were a big deal. Alcoholism were really starting to become a major problem. I mean, that's when it first was happening. Some physicians came up with a way to communicate with patients that allowed them to be at the center of the decision process. So I guess we can probably all think back to, situations or disease states where we're working with a patient where, maybe we told them something and we didn't really let them be in on the decision-making process. And we know that when the patient's making their own decisions or making their own plans, they're working through their own thought process, they're much more likely to be invested in a decision or to do something that is good for their health. So to a long way to answer your question, absolutely. I think motivational interviewing is a very crucial communication style right now to specifically promote that behavior change of, do I get a vaccine or do I not get a vaccine?
And when we think of motivational interviewing in the context of COVID-19 vaccination, what are some maybe specific pearls we should be thinking about that maybe is specific to this vaccine or vaccines in general? How can you be most effective in that interviewing session?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, when we think about motivation interviewing, it's all about helping the patients come up with their own decision about the vaccine. So just to kind of back up a little bit, it's important when we're talking about MI to focus on the spirit of MI. So basically, a lot of times the patient comes in to wherever you are, whether it's in the pharmacy or the a clinical setting or whatever, having their own set of beliefs and opinions and whatever. Kind of our job is to help them balance through all of that. So a couple words I think are important. Autonomy. You know, the patient needs to know that they're accepted and can make their own decisions. So if they do say no, we'll accept that. I think also evocation, or basically drawing out what's important to them, is really important. And we can do that through a number of things like reflective listening or open-ended questions. So with motivation, or with the COVID vaccine, some important questions that you could maybe start off to evoke a response from the patient would be like, you know, why is your health important to you? Or potentially, you know, what would be the best thing that could happen if you get the COVID-19 vaccine? Or, you know, what are some reasons why you thought about getting the vaccine? And then, you know, if the patient's a little bit more hesitant, or you're just really trying to unpack maybe their frustrations or fears about the vaccine, you could ask something like, you know, what would be the worst thing that could happen if you get the COVID-19 vaccine? Or, you know, what are some things that you're a little bit worried about? So all those questions kind of help the patient identify, hey, this is what I'm thinking and this is what I'm feeling. And then we also learn with motivational interviewing too, the importance of listening. So, you know, to engage or to listen and to build that relationship with our patient, we have to basically stop talking. We can do that in a number of ways. You know, we can use reflective listening, where we basically kind of mirror what the patient's asking or saying, and just kind of mirror it back to them. So you could say, you know, it sounds like you're a little bit worried about this vaccine, and just let them fill up that empty space. Basically, you know, there's a lot of these little pearls or parts of motivational interviewing, but essentially, if you're allowing the patient to make their own decision, if you're on the same team as the patient and being collaborative with them, where there's really not a winner or a loser, and you're just pulling out those patient ideas, you're really going to be using MI to help the patient make their own decision.
Yeah, I think those are all great points. And certainly when you have that combative patient or just that one on the fence, I think that's a great strategy. Is there anything else our listeners should know about incorporating motivational interviewing into this discussion about the COVID-19 vaccine?
Sure. Yeah, a few more things. You know, like one big part of motivational interviewing that kind of gets overlooked a lot of times is the planning stage. So, you know, once you do kind of evoke those responses and build a relationship, I think it's important to ask the patient what they're going to do next with that information. So, you know, asking the patient, so what do you know about this vaccine? If they don't really know much, you could ask for permission to provide some information. And then, you know, once you kind of get done sharing what you know, it's really important to bring it back to the patient and to do so in a very objective and emotionally neutral way, so that the patient doesn't really feel judged depending on what they say. So they can be honest and say, you know, I'm really not going to get it yet. Or, hey, you know what, I'll think about it and I'll come back and get it. You know, I think with that and all the other disease states I work with, the toughest part sometimes is just accepting that the patient can say no. But what I tell our students, you know, is we sometimes over-exaggerate how important each visit is. So I really like to focus on the relationship and know that, you know, hopefully that patient's going to come back to my pharmacy or come back to clinic or even talk to a different healthcare provider about this somewhere down the line. So if I do a good job of just making the patient think and getting them the information, I'll just kind of hope that at some point they'll make the right health decision.
Jason, thank you so much for talking to us today. I really appreciate all of your insights and the continued use of motivational interviewing, especially with this pandemic.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me, y'all.
And thank you all for joining us for this episode of the Pharmacy Preceptor Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please like or subscribe. We would love your feedback on topics that interest you and how we can make this podcast better. Please submit your comments to help us develop content that best serves you. Thank you, everyone.